When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. I'm joined today by Paul Wadlington, longtime member of the staff of Inside Texas, one of the originators of the blogosphere on Texas sports. I think that would be a fair term for Paul and his well-known history. How you doing tonight? Or how you doing today, Paul?
I'm doing great. I'm just pleased that we live in a world where we can get this kind of entertainment for free, Bobby. I'm going to cancel my Netflix subscription.
I tell you what, in the last 24, 48 hours, we've seen Nick Saban call the Aggies, whether, you know, he's called the Aggies cheaters. He said he bought their class. And then he goes back and says, well, no, it's not cheating. And in between that, Jimbo Fisher comes out and, I mean, for 10 minutes, basically just says everything under the sun. We didn't cheat. Nobody got any money. Not sure what you're talking about. I mean, it was a hands wash. I didn't do anything wrong. Nobody's done anything wrong here. Kind of a soliloquy, I guess, is the best word to put it. I don't know even where to start. That's where I am at on it, because it's been, I mean, from afar watching it and having been somebody that said that this is what people are saying. You know, I wrote this about 2 weeks ago. This is what people are saying. And I wasn't making it up. And then for Nick Saban, of all people in this world, to come out and say it means, and it shows, I wasn't making it up, you know, no matter what Aggie fans want to think. And then for their response to be so vehement. I mean, I don't know where even to start.
All right. I can sum up the Jimbo Fisher press conference this way. You want to do a little role play with me?
Sure.
All right. You're my beautiful wife. You're going to walk in the door and you're going to ask me how my day was.
Paul, how was your day?
I'm not having an affair. You're having an affair. That was Jimbo Fisher today.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know. There's a couple of things I want to get right. First of all, Saban today came back, or I should say Thursday afternoon, came back and said on Sirius XM, well, I wasn't just poking at A&M or saying they were doing anything illegal, but he did say that NIL used as a recruiting. I mean, he did say that they bought their players and it was used via NIL. And furthermore, he should know as the head coach of Alabama that using NIL as an inducement to sign with a team is illegal. And so whether he meant to or not, he in fact did. Yes. And this is the all-time greatest coach, according to some, right, saying this. And I just feel like that has to be clarified. Furthermore, you have Jimbo Fisher saying he likes confrontation, never been about it, but then not accepting Nick Saban's phone call. Yeah. I mean, where's the lady of justice in that argument? If somebody accused me of cheating, though, to be fair with Jimbo Fisher, I wouldn't be taking the call either. I'd be texting him back, you know, the big FU. But I feel like we're in some kind of alternative reality here. It's that bizarre.
Well, so there's a lot to unpack here, but coaches aren't supposed to do this to each other, and certainly not to conference mates. Do you remember the big to do? And this is interesting to look back in retrospect. Remember when Joe Paterno said, "I can't retire because I can't leave college football to the Jackie Sherrills of the world." Now, we look back at that statement with knowing what we know about what happened at Penn State and the denial and all the stuff that gets swept under the rug. And you know, that was more serious than paying off some guys with Corvettes. But it was, that was a big deal at the time. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. No, I specifically remember that. And to your point, it's the unspoken rule.
It's right? American.
Yeah. You don't, you know, we're all in this together.
Right.
And, you know, I've used the term, we don't necessarily need to know how the sausage is made.
Right.
You know, just make sure that it's good. And, you know, Nick Saban has made sure it's pretty good for a long time, you know, and he just went there though. And so I'm not sure what to say.
What was interesting about Saban's original comments is he was very cagey, right? He didn't say Jimbo's cheating. He said they bought every player in the class with NIL. He added that, right? And he didn't suggest it was an inducement, but he didn't say it wasn't. The key was there was subtext there, which said that A&M dropped bags in the old school 80s cheating way, and they're going to try to make it up after the fact and pretend it's NIL. That was Saban's implication. And that is what he meant.
What was Jimbo's implication? Hey, what was Jimbo's implication back?
Well, it was you do it too, buddy, and we're doing it better. And I think that, look, the best thing about that was the complete lack of composure that Jimbo evidenced in that press conference. Now, there's certain things in life that you're not going to be composed about if someone accuses you of certain things. But there is the old Shakespeare, she doth protest too much, right? Jimbo was a little too heated and animated, where I think a better response would have been a press release, not a press conference. And you just say, hey, we're all about competition at Texas A&M. We're all about excellence. The fact is, we outworked and outfought Nick Saban on the field in front of 100,000 screaming Aggies. And then we outworked and outfought Nick Saban off the field on the recruiting trails. We signed a hell of a class. We love these young men and their families, and we're excited that they're Aggies. Nick, you worry about Alabama. I'll worry about Texas A&M.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to your point, I feel like there was a lot of things that could have been handled different. It was eerily similar to Hugh Freeze's, hey, we're not cheating here. Just turn us into compliance if you have something legitimate. And lo and behold, you know, years later,
that's when the narrator of the documentary goes, they did turn him into compliance, and then it shows him in handcuffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the issue, you know, that's kind of interesting to me, you know, in that play or whatever you want to say, Ross Bjork was the Ole Miss AD at the time. And now he's the Texas A&M AD having to do it all over again. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all of this. I mean, anybody that thinks they know everything is just,
hey, time out. We don't know everything, but we know enough things to know why this is so funny at multiple levels.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I can't sit here and say pinpoint, you know, he did this, they did that. You know, Nick Saban, I'll say this, Nick Saban coming off as, you know, never done anything wrong, and he's got a 30 or 40 year career in the industry that he's in and had the success he's in. I mean, there would be times when you'd think, you know, Jimbo Fisher has some accuracy to that. Likewise, you would think that Nick Saban knows how the sausage is made in College Station, just like he does in Tuscaloosa or Athens, Georgia, or anywhere else. And so I feel like, I just feel like it's grown men arguing about things that they would both just prefer not to talk about at all.
Right.
And yet they did.
Well, I think Jimbo's reaction was, you're going to break the code. I'm really going to break the code. And I mean, he called him a narcissist. He said he had a God complex and that he needed to be slapped upside the head. You don't hear that a lot in college football coaching circles.
Both men paid around $10 million a year to coach, by the way.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
there's an old joke about why are faculty disagreements at a university so vicious and personal? And the answer is because the stakes are so small.
Yeah, I see where you're going. You know, we look at it, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, issued reprimands to both Saban and and Jimbo Fisher today. I mean, what do you even, if you're Greg Sankey, what are you even supposed to say to either of these men who basically just went out and, I mean, one called one a cheater, the other one called another a narcissist.
Yeah.
And a cheater, insinuating that there was cheating in Saban's background. I didn't use the words, but boy, it sounded like he was calling Nick Saban a cheater, right?
I mean, no doubt.
What do you, if you're Greg Sankey and you come out, the best you can do is a reprimand. I mean, why don't you, like, I don't know, what college football has gotten some characters in it right now. And Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, is one of those now, because I mean, he's basically looking like the principal of two first grade teachers arguing with one another.
Well, and Lane Kiffin is that kid who's egging both on. Because it's the equivalent of Justin texting Eric and being like, hey, do you think you could beat Paul in a fight? He doesn't think you could. And then he texts me and goes, man, Eric kind of wants to throw down with you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And Eric's like, what are you, that's weird. Why would he say that? And all of a sudden you get a little, Lane's the guy going, fight, 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 fight. He's egging it on. It's hilarious. And he worked for Saban.
I mean, yeah. And look, I mean, and he's not, I think the thing about Lane Kiffin too, you can say what you want, he's not sanctimonious about the virtue of college football.
No,
he's right. He's like, look, it's a sport and we're playing it. And, you know, it's, let's not pretend we're, you know, curing cancer. Right. Whereas both Saban and Fisher, I think, take it a different level of seriousness about their roles.
Well, Lane Kiffin is a hustler, and those guys are trying to be Maxim. You know, these are tasteful spread, you know, like Lane Kiffin's like, no, this is what we're doing. You know, let's not have any compunctions about what it is, what industry we're in.
Paul, I've got to be honest with you. You said hustler, and I was like, what is he even talking about? And I was like, Lane Kiffin. And then I'm thinking, you mean the TNA magazine, the everything magazine, instead of just, hey, let's be tasteful and wear like bikini cut-ups and, you know.
That's right.
I don't know, Paul. That may be too rich even for me.
There, all right. You got your title for your pod.
Yeah, there you go. Hustler versus Maxim. Yeah. Greg Sankey in the middle refereeing. Yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, we talk about this in NIL's impact on the game, because that's kind of what Saban was getting at.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's not what Fisher was getting at in his presser. He was just saying, hey, we didn't buy anybody. We didn't buy anybody. We didn't buy anybody. What do you think of NIL's impact in the game thus far through a year of having it, really, or 9 months, I guess?
It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything about the sport. Nick Saban, by the way, is the guy who bragged at the advent of NIL that his quarterback hadn't taken a snap and already had made $1 million. So we'll just keep that in mind when Saint Nick is protesting. You know, I want to be clear. People act like there's sides to be taken here. There's no real sides. I'm amused by it all. I just want to see it continue. I think it's great. I don't want Greg Sankey to get in between the fight. I want Lane Kiffin to keep hanging it on. But yeah, I mean, NIL's broader impact, Bobby, it's going to change everything. The sport's never going to be the same. And so the inherent tension here is the players. I'm down for the players being paid. I don't have a problem with it. I never bought into the exploitation narratives. I think that was a little silly. But I don't mind them getting paid. But by the same token, the players need to have some awareness that without that Longhorn on their helmet, without the Aggies across their chest, without those fans at Alabama feeling like they have a connection to the school, they're just a bunch of guys in a semi-pro league playing in front of 800 people at House Park in Austin, Texas. Okay. That's what you're doing because you're not ready for the NFL at age 18. Earl Campbell accepted. So I think that's something the players need to have some cognizance of, that don't kill the golden goose. You know, there's eggs getting laid right now. Harvest them. God bless you. But don't make this so mercenary that people just say, well, this isn't even college football anymore. I'm just going to become a Cowboys fan. What do I care about these guys? They don't care about our school.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that you've said basically the right thing. And furthermore, you know, it's not like they have a bunch of options. If they want to create value for themselves and become NFL players, they're going to go to the XFL or something else where they get, you know, ostensibly, I don't know that Xavier Worthy could sign a contract for probably what he got from Texas or from Bijan Robinson from a Texas NIL or whatever. I find that very interesting that we're in this whole deal where it's finding the right balance, you know, and we don't have it, and nobody I've heard of, Paul, this is what's most discouraging for me. Nobody I've heard of has said, this is how it should be. What do you think?
Yeah.
It's been pass the buck. Oh, this is bad. They go to a rules committee in Scottsdale last week, and they come out with this, you know, I don't want to call it idiotic, but this really trite, you know, backpedal. Let's put the genie back in the bottle. You got it wrong. We should have said something earlier. And I don't hear anybody saying, okay, this is the way we're going to get control of it.
Yeah.
And this is the way we need to push for the future. I don't hear any of that from a conference commissioner. I don't hear any of it from a president of a university or an athletic director that I recognize. All I hear is, this is bad. I'm interested for the first person to show up and say, this is how we fix it. What they did last week was reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. And we talked about that. It's insane.
Yeah, I think a lot of this too is it reveals the toothlessness of the NCAA, right? The NCAA only has power insofar it has the consent of the people it's pretending to govern. And the minute a critical mass of football schools or conferences tell them to pound sand, the NCAA just helps run a basketball tournament. That's their job. Because they've abandoned any authority, even in the non-revenue sports. If you're looking at some of the competitive issues that are going on right now in gendered sports, we can leave it at that. So, you know, I think it reveals just what a fraud sort of the NCAA was and is in terms of, I think they thought they had invested power. And I think they're realizing that they can be a tool, certainly of the key conferences and, you know, and the big schools fueled by TV money, but only if they want to use them as an intermediary, right, to enforce their will and use them as a governing body. But the NCAA in and of itself is meaningless. And if enough schools and critical mass just say, you know, go pound sand, NCAA, the NCAA effectively ceases to exist in college football as a governing authority.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about it, and I know we got off track a little bit talking about the portal, but I think that was that along with NIL and the confluence of those two events.
Yeah.
Not one by itself, but both of them together have set about to change college football.
Yeah.
More than college basketball. College basketball still feels kind of the same. Yeah, they have a bunch of one-year transfers, but you know what? They already have one and dones with the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Right. And so that concept was already there. But, you know, I look back at it and a guy like Jahdae Barron contemplates transferring strictly because of NIL. This is a guy that had less than 15 total tackles in his career and was going to start every game for the first time in his career. Yet he was contemplating transferring because he wasn't getting enough. He didn't feel like he was being taken care of from an NIL perspective. I mean, where is that hit? Like, it's one thing when you know a guy almost has 1,000 yards in receiving and truly moves the needle from a win-loss perspective in Xavier Worthy. Where does it come out with a guy? I'm not trying to make Jahde Barron sound like a bad guy, because that's not my intent. What I'm trying to say is, how does that position even become tenable long term? I mean, it struck me as just, okay, this is another bridge too far.
Yeah, I mean, on the basis of a strong spring offseason, he wants a plucker's contract.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I mean, I think you probably have to have some broad NIL, that sort of like the pancake thing with the offensive linemen. Everybody sort of gets paid irrespective. And then you might have some individual players that reap larger benefits. You've got the Burnt Ends program that, you know, Surly Bevo launched. I'm actually a part of that. You know, I'm putting in NIL money, so I'm a hypocrite to you know, decry it. I just think you have to try to find some sort of limitations, and you have to find some ways to make it broad enough so that every player gets their beak wet, right?
Yeah.
That might have addressed the Jahde Barrons.
This is interesting to me because you mentioned that, and that's something that Saban said in the early part of that Q&A he was having. Is he was talking about, we're going to try to get it to where everybody makes a little something off of NIL, and then above and beyond that, you make whatever. You know, that seems to me like, you know, it all depends on what they're doing for that little something. Is it just being on the team, or is it going out and Horns with Heart, for example? I talked to the guy from there, Rob Blair. They're going out and working with Derek Johnson's charity, or they're donating their time to do something around the Austin community, or raise funds for charity. There's got to be, it can't be just pay for play. The players actually have to do something. There has to be a quid pro quo for this.
Yeah, but not.
I know. Right? See, that's what I mean whenever it's, there's not, and I've gotten into this with a lot of people. From my understanding, the vagaries itself of what NIL is part of the problem.
It can't be performance based. We know that.
Yeah.
Right.
No doubt. But it is inherently performance based. If you're Xavier Worthy,
yes,
and you caught over 1,000 yards worth of balls, and all of a sudden you're the name of the team, that the performance of the player likely increases his value. I mean, Vince Young as the third string backup compared to Vince Young, Rose Bowl winner, is he performed on the field, thus he makes NIL.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I just feel like they're the NCAA and whoever's running college football right now is trying to too narrowly define what NIL is. And because of that, they're getting messed up in the head and not coming up with any real rules that will help govern the sport.
So ultimately, who's going to have to come up with these rules, right? It's the key conferences, and more specifically, the key schools in those conferences. We're talking about 24 schools, aren't we?
Probably, yeah.
So they need to come together. It's the likely suspects in the Big Ten, the SEC, Texas, OU, USC now wants to play football again. They decided they're playing sports again. You've got some other schools maybe just below that, you know, might have a seat at the table, might not, but that's what you're talking about. I mean, these are the drivers of college football, and it's really on them. Now, are they incentivized, or do they want that separation and bifurcation in NIL? Does Texas want to rein it in right now? I don't know about that. Seems like a pretty good advantage. That said, if you're Texas Tech or Houston, and you've got a billionaire or some very active multimillionaires who decide this is their raison d'etre, right? This is what they're going to do. You can become a player in college football, right? But with a narrow focus and just buying certain key players at certain key positions, right? You can attack this like an NFL GM. What positions will have an outsized impact on my football team vis-a-vis the free market of NIL and the portal?
You know, we've gotten off on NIL at large and not talked about enough, I think, about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I go back to the Fisher thing, and I mean, you mentioned that you would have done a press release instead of a press conference. I hear you. I think it would have been definitely would have been tighter, less crazy. But this is
making little comments and little, you know, snarky asides.
Was this Jimbo Fisher? Was this his I'm a man, I'm 40 speech for Mike Gundy?
Well, it began talking about the kids, Bobby, because the kids were harmed by Nick Saban. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Nick Saban attacked the children, Bobby.
Yeah. You can't start with coach speak, which is what that was, and expect people that have been around the block to nod their heads in agreement.
But who was that for? Was that for you and me, or was that for his base?
Well, I know it's for his base. Yeah. But my point is that then it's like, you know, and I look, every coach I know of has some level of coach speak in them. But it's typically used to not tell you what they really don't want to say.
Sure.
Right. And so for Jimbo or whoever to come out there and start like that is just, it's almost disingenuous. What wasn't just disingenuous was him calling Nick Saban despicable.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's like, okay, now get in, tell us how you really feel, as opposed to these trite, you know, one-liners that you're just throwing in there to try to make yourself, you know, prop yourself up in a way that isn't really true. I mean,
he coined a new catchphrase, Bobby. Don't throw darts when you have no glass in your house.
What is that? Don't throw stones.
That's the thing, though, is you don't want to throw stones if you live in a glass house, but if you have no glass in your house, Don't throw darts.
Why not?
Well, that's a great point. Why wouldn't you? You got no glass. Throw darts. Throw stones. Roll boulders. Who cares? You got no glass in your house.
I think we're living in unprecedented times. And I think that college football got in the last 24, 48 hours, got an education of sorts on just what when you see two coaches that are, I mean, Texas fans can get upset when you call Jimbo Fisher an accomplished coach, but he's won a national championship. He's well known throughout the industry. And
he's not accomplished at A&M.
No, I didn't say that. But my point being is this, is you see two coaches that make roughly $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And they're, but one's hurling accusations from a podium or from a dais that he's behind answering questions openly. And the other one's then at a press conference, basically eschewing all questions and just going on a diatribe. I mean, where have we gone? I mean, where is the sanity in all of this? Because it just looks like it looks foolish. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. And I know that Aggie fans, well, he's taken up for us. And Alabama fans, well, you know, Nick has always done it right. Well, I mean, really, I don't know the answer to all these things. It's just, it makes me feel like college football, or at least those two guys took a step back in some way, shape or form. And that to Jimbo Fisher's point, that may make Nick Saban not appear to be the god that some people think he is, which I do agree with him about that.
Yeah.
And furthermore, it you know, it makes you think about Jimbo Fisher. What on God's green earth is really going on? Because that nobody comes out like that. It just doesn't happen.
Well, there's a reversion to archetype, right? You there's certain things you can do and say and posture that feeds your fan base. And with Texas, it drives me crazy. I hate all the We Are the Joneses bullshit. I don't know about you. I just get so tired of hearing that. But you see someone post that on the board and it's going to get a bunch of likes and people are like, oh, we're the Joneses. Oh, look at our profits. Look at this. And I'm like, are you getting a rebate from the university? Because I'm not. The way I get paid is wins. The way I get paid is watching our teams kick ass on the field. That's how I get paid. So I get tired of that. The way Aggies get fed is indignation, picked on underdog. He's standing up for us. Everyone thinks they're better than us. There's, even though Aggies, A&M is greatly normalized as a school, right? I mean, it's, you go to A&M, it feels like a big college campus, pretty much like anywhere else, right? But they still have that undercurrent. You know, we're the underdog, we're indignant, people overlook us, people try to degrade us. We need, we'll rally behind anyone who'll stand for us. Alabama has that blue blood sort of self-perception that's been really reinforced by the incredible success of the last, what, 15 years?
Right at, yeah.
And right before that, they were lost in the ocean, right? Looking for a bearing. So, you know, this, what Nick was doing was really reconfirming that if we lose, whether it's on the field or off the field in recruiting, it's because someone else did something untoward. And all the rest of college football, and particularly the SEC, is laughing, saying, is Alabama accusing some, like mocking someone for cheating? Like, we appreciate the sophistication that Alabama brought to the game of cheating and inducements, but let's not pretend. I understand Tennessee's a bunch of idiots for putting cash in McDonald's bags. Bama doesn't roll that way. But let's not get sanctimonious, St. Nick.
Yeah, I feel like it's just, you know, it goes back to what we said at the very beginning, Paul. I mean, these guys, I enjoy college football for what college football is, for the sport, the camaraderie between the fans, the passion against the other fan. I enjoy reading an Aggie versus a Longhorn on a message board sometimes.
Of course.
I enjoy, and I you know, I've been lucky enough to see it at other places too, whether it's Auburn and Alabama or whomever. And that's part of the fun of it. But to see two coaches go at it is just a different level. And they're talking about things that you just don't want, you know, at some point you just don't want to know some of this stuff.
Well, in a weird way though, Bobby, I'm part of the problem, right? I contribute to NIL. You're part of the problem, buddy. You and Shannon Terry were uniquely responsible for the architecture of a lot of these fan experience websites in which you absolutely have a greater experience, right? It's better. It's fun. It's the best. It's so fun. But we know a lot now because of why.
I don't disagree.
Are we relying on beat reporters anymore?
I remember when we first started Rival, you go back to that. When we first started that, you know, there literally were, there were only a handful of websites out there that were actually had real reporters.
Right.
I mean, and now I think that we were counting it up the other day. I was trying to count it up. I think there are over 800 people employed between Rivals, On Three, and 24/7 Sports. Wow. that are covering college football and football recruiting. That is just that, and basketball recruiting, excuse me. That is just an amazing figure. And, you know, 20 years ago, and that's not including the newspapers that still have a staff, the local radio stations that still have a staff. It's just on top of what they already had. And so there are a lot more eyeballs and people out there trying to break news and find out what's really going on.
And think about that radio, right? When they have on the reporter from the local rag, there's no, in the next segment, you're going to hear from insider Kirk Bowles about the Texas program. But how many times have you or I or Justin or Eric appeared? And that's exactly how they tag us, right? The presumption is we have deeper and better and more foundational knowledge about what's going on than traditional media, because we're so deep into it.
And there's some validity to that. Not that I'm not saying Kirk doesn't have, you know, I'm not going there, but you know, Kirk is a columnist that has, you know, 10 other things to write about. He has to go write about the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. And I feel like, you know, we've gotten off here, but on a tangent, but I feel like really, whether it's the fan-driven approach and camaraderie that I like, or the game itself, I feel it's still what I said after hearing what Jimbo Fisher and watching that today. I feel like the game took a step back. The game took a hit, whether Aggie fans want to believe that or not. After watching that press conference, I absolutely believe that's what occurred, because it was weird. I mean, it was like here's a grown man making $10 million a year saying that another grown man should get slapped upside the head. Yeah. I felt like I was watching WWE and not college football.
Yeah.
I felt like Vince McMahon was going to show up and, you know, hand the mic over to Nick Saban next after watching Jimbo.
There's been a larger coarsening of the culture. And a lot of the roles and standards that we sort of assumed and honored have sort of eroded, right? In a lot of areas. So why wouldn't it happen in college football? And some people say, you know what? It's about time, because everything was fake and posture and a bunch of BS. And actually, this is authentic interaction between two guys who have a beef, right? So,
yes, but here's the point. I just compared it to WWE, which is the ultimate fake.
That's right. Right. Joe Cook is going to watch this and be very offended.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know what to say. I feel like we've probably talked enough here, Paul, but I am of the opinion that, you know, I hope that the Texas Longhorns coach doesn't go on one of these.
He's not.
And talk like this. I think that he did a good job on the Longhorn tour of the different cities around the state. I talked to Joe Cook about that earlier today, and he seems to think that that's in good hands there. And I hope that college football as a whole finds a way to come together and actually create rules that do create parity, or at least perceived parity, so that everybody's, you know, swinging from the same tee box, basically. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's going to be the case ever. But I hope it's something like that. I really do, because otherwise we're just headed down a path where we're going to see, I just don't even know what's next. I mean, are assistants going to be calling out assistants, or, you know, the recruiting guys from each school going to be saying, oh, this guy's cheating? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, is probably the answer. But you know, there is an element of MAD, right? There's an element of mutually assured destruction. And that's always been the thing that sort of held back the nukes getting deployed, right? And you know, the problem is if you're an upstart, it's not tolerated, right? We've seen that in the SEC. You have a long history of the Blue Bloods cheating, and then Ole Miss tries to rise up and improve their station and it gets swatted down, right? So I think it's interesting that A&M is saying, hey, we're not going to be treated as one of those schools. We may not be a blue blood, but we're not one of the downtrodden either. And so, you know, maybe that's part of what's going on here. It's a little bit of a wrangling and then a sense of a shift in power structure. But, you know, Nick Saban's legacy is assured, Bobby.
He can. Yeah, they're going to look back at this as a small blemish on his. Yeah. And, you know, he is at the end of his career as well, most likely. I mean, I'm not saying he's leaving after this year or something to like that. I'm not reporting that for sure. My point would be is that at some point he's got 5 years at most left.
I bet he's gone in the next two.
Yeah. That's my point. Jimbo Fisher is a different story, and his tenure at A&M, his legacy is still yet to be known, I guess is the best way to put it. So, all right, Paul, you're awesome guest as always. I knew I had to talk to you about this today, because I just felt like, of all people, you would have some unique viewpoints on it and have some good one-liners for me and be able to entertain everybody too.
It's my pleasure to come on here. I always enjoy it. And when you texted me, I was slammed. You know, so I've got a ton of stuff going on. I wanted to throw up a quick article. I had to do Austin Radio. And I was like, yes, of course I will do it. I don't care. yes, we are going to talk.
You also closed on a house today, I believe. Congratulations. That was the other thing, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. For Paul Wadlington of Inside Texas, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching this this video. We'll have more tomorrow. Take care.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.